Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth and development of all those who wish to develop their spirit, mind, and body. Today is December the 11th, 2022, and we are looking forward to spending some time today with our good friend, Reverend Lily Sandberg, who we were recalling this morning wasn't a reverend the last time that she visited with us. So welcome, Lily. We'll hear a little bit more from her later on. So I'd like to welcome you this morning, and I'd like to share our mission and our foundation statement. And if we're blessed, that's going to come up easily for me. There you go. Can you see that with me, guys? All right. So please join me in the mission of Unity Center of Light. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. Amen. And now our foundation statement. There is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs. God the good, omnipotent. So it is. So I'd like to invite Christine Harper to read the daily word for us today.
Good morning, Unity Center of Light. Today's daily word is love. I answer the call to love, embracing the world. Love is both a noun and a verb. More than just a feeling, it is one of the highest intentions I can hold and one of the most sacred actions I can take. Love is the name and nature of God, the pulsation of oneness from the center of my heart to the farthest reaches of earthly existence. On this third Sunday of Advent, love is also a call to action, an invitation to perceive the world through the Christ presence and live as the love I am. I open my heart and let my love flow forth as kindness, gentleness, and compassion. I stay grounded in the presence of God through my prayers, and I radiate love through my kind words and actions. I trust my loving impulses will reach far and wide. The light and joy I send forth grow and expand to encompass all things. And from 1 John 3:18, little children, let us love, not in word or speech, but in truth and action.
Thank you, Christine. Thank you very much. So as Christine has already shared with us, we are beginning our third week of Advent. And today, we light the candle for love. So the third candle represents love and is symbolized by the baby Jesus. Jesus is the representation of boundless and unconditional love. And when we are fully established in faith and peace, we are able to extend the experience of love to ourselves and to all of God's creation. It is through the union of wisdom, represented by Joseph, and compassion, represented by Mary, that the love and the light of the Christ can come into full expression in our world. It is by these means that Christ is born anew in us. So our friend Lily is going to be sharing with us a lot today about love and different ways of looking at that. And I'd just like to say a little bit about her. I have the distinct blessing of knowing her on a couple of different levels. We do work together on the communications team for the Unity Eastern Region. And I've cheered her on in her journey to become a minister. Now she is a fully fledged Rev, as we like to call it. And she brings her joy and her enthusiasm as a lifelong Unity student. I mean, she's Unity through and through. So let's join together in sending her lots of love and light and our divinely guided attention for what she's going to be sharing with us today. Go for it, Lily.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here again. And it really is a full circle feeling of kind of before the official title of Reverend and afterwards. Because for me, in growing up in Unity and knowing that ministry was part of my path, that was a really big deal. So it's just so fun to be back with you as Reverend Lily. And we are jumping in to love. I want to just give a different understanding of Advent to kind of preface my talk, because for me growing up in Unity, it was like, oh, 4 Sundays, we like this candle, we got the wreath. Sometimes I got to be an Advent speaker. But I found a definition of Advent this week that really just hit that I wanted to bring to you. And so this is from one of the voices that I have been tapping into more and more. Her name is Cole Arthur Riley. She is also a millennial theologian like me. She is the author of Black Liturgies on Instagram and has a really incredible book called In the Flesh. And so she says, Advent is the season that marks the beginning of the liturgical calendar for many Christian traditions and ends with Christmas, with the birth of the Christ. It is the season which perhaps more than any other is situated in the Christian history and in the habit of waiting. It rests in the sacred in-between of knowing that healing and liberation are coming, but waiting under the impressive empires of evil until that goodness, until God in the flesh is actually delivered. The night is long. Come, let us wait together. And so when we talk about Advent, we talk about this series of being able to dive into hope and faith and love. And we focus on love today. We are in that space of knowing that we are in the in-between. Because sometimes love can feel so true, so grounded, so possible. But I want to have us honor and think about love in the in-between. Because I think when we are diving into a growth process for our spirituality, we sometimes forget the beauty of the gray area. And so I wanted to dive into that today, to think about love in a more expansive way, in a more grounded way. And so if there is a piece of today that kind of ruffles your feathers a little or makes you chew on, that's what I want. And that's what I want you to hold on to. So as I'm talking, if there is ever a moment that you have a thought come to you or a moment where you just need to breathe through, I invite you to take that space. Because me as a minister, being able to share this with you, my job is to just remind you of what you know and to call forth what is coming to you. So let's dive in. I chuckled because April, we all know April, she is a planner. And so when she emailed me many, many months ago to say, hey, would you like to speak on the 11th? I said, absolutely, I'd love to. And then she said, I'm pretty sure the topic is love, but let me check. And my first reaction was a groan that I would have to talk about love. And let me tell you why it was a groan. In 2016, when I went to the Unity People's Convention in Overland Park, there was an opportunity for ministers to be interviewed as part of a project for a movie about the 12 powers. And I had been asked by a few people, would you record just your thoughts? And I said, yeah, if I have time, I'll get to it. Because I was helping run the volunteers for convention. And so at the very last day, as we're wrapping up, I found some time and I went and recorded. And so it was this moment where I got mic'd up and I was just sitting. And then they just say the 12 powers. And it was just like, what is the first thing that comes to you? What is the thing that is alive in you now about these 12 powers? And so I went through and I felt pretty good about it. And then I didn't think about it again. And in my life at that time, I was getting ready for my own spiritual journey. I was studying abroad in India. I was spending some time in Asia. And so I'd kind of forgot about this whole filming thing until I had a bunch of people on Facebook saying, oh my gosh, you're part of this movie. And we're playing it at our Unity Center. And so this movie became The Sound of Unity, a movie about the 12 powers that was produced by James Twyman. And so that came out January of 2017. And I had people just so excited that I was up on a screen, that they were getting to see the brilliance that was me in my development into my Unity ministerhood. And the thing that got put in the final cut was me saying, oh, the power of love. Well, I hate love. I literally said that, and that made the cut. I hate love. And it was because in that moment, I was not feeling love. And so in that, you know, natural bubbling forth of what is in your spirit, I hate love was what came out. And so let me tell you how many Unity people emailed me, texted me, tried to call me while I'm abroad saying, so do you really hate love? And in every progress interview, to be able to reach my Unity minister status, so do you really hate love? So I have got to chew on love. So when April said love was your topic, it was this cosmic joke with me that now I am a part of. Thank you, Spirit, that I get to be part of this evolution of seeing love in its purest, holiest messiness that is love. Because for me, why I said I hate love is love had felt at that point that it had not been given the credit it deserved. That when we think about love, we can go to the Hallmark movies. We can think of, oh, I love that, or I love this. But love for me, and I had been struggling with, was how is my love enough? How is my love able to be very soft and very strong all at the same time? How can love hold that space of duality, of God as love? And therefore me as love, but not always choosing to show up in that love. That I was still chewing on all of this. And let me tell you, it is stuff that I still come back to because it is part of my spiritual growth, because I truly believe that one of the greatest abilities we have in this world is to take things that we think we understand and to go deeper. And we know in our 12 powers that we have in Unity, we can always go deeper with them. And so when we think about love, I want to give us a context, because when I say that word, each of us will have a definition and an understanding and a feeling of what that is. But I just want to set the stage for what I mean, what Unity means. And so I'm pulling from Power Up, which is Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck's book, along with Cher Holton. Love is defined as the ability to feel affection for, desire, attraction oneself to, harmonization, and unification. So in all of that, love is not that warm, tingly feeling. Love is not just the thing you say at the end of the night to your partner. Love is one of the pieces that is a harmonizing and attractive force in this world. He goes on to say, perhaps one of the most famous phrases from the Bible comes to us from 1 John 16, which is simply to say, God is love. In fact, that same scripture informs us that those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. We are encouraged to love our neighbors as ourselves, and at the same time, we must realize that God, divine mind, is also much more than love. Love is simply one aspect of many. And so when we think about love is God as love, we can sometimes all encompass God being love and ending there. But what I love from this definition from Paul Hasselbeck is that love is directly in conjunction with will and understanding. That for us to be fully in the understanding of our expression of love, we have to not just be a silo of love. We have to be an expansive force of love. And one of the pieces for me that is so powerful about that understanding of God is love is that feels like the middle of a Venn diagram for me. Sometimes it feels like how we perceive our biblical text in unity can sometimes not be in conversation with the rest of the Christian world when we're talking about the same text. But God is love feels like the center point that we can all agree on. And so when we think about the Christmas story, this coming, this bubbling forth of the Christ consciousness, love is there in every way. Mary saying yes to being the conduit, the birthing of the Christ consciousness as Jesus in that expression was pure love. Joseph saying yes to being on this journey was an act of love. God saying yes to bringing Jesus into this world in this moment for us to understand what Christ consciousness can be in a human form was love. I even believe that the innkeeper that turned Jesus and Mary away was love. And in that way, even when we are not our best selves, we still are love. That when we say God is love, and if we agree on our unity principle number two, that we are made in the image and likeness of love, how can we not be? I want to bring in a scriptural passage all about God being love. And I just want to shout out, I'm a little bit of a Bible collector. I think that should have been one of the first signs that I was going to be a minister when I had a collection of Bibles in my high school years. But the one that I'm pulling from today is called the Inclusive Bible. And so this is a work that has been brought together that takes out ableist language and gendered language to be able to have it be as close to the actual Greek of the Bible without all of those things that sometimes are a trigger for us if we've come from a more traditional path. I feel like it is the next wave of being able to interpret the Bible without having to flip the he's or the she's to make it just in principle. So I'm reading from 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, let us love one another because love is of God. Everyone who loves is begotten of God and has the knowledge of God. Those who do not love have known nothing of God, for God is love. God's love was revealed in our midst in this way, by sending Jesus into the world that we might have faith through the Anointed One. Love then consists of this: not that we have loved God, but that God has loved us and has sent Jesus to be an offering for us. Beloved, if God has loved us so, we must have the same love for another. No one has ever seen God, yet if we love one another, God dwells within us, and God's love is brought to perfection in us. Part of the Christmas story that so many people hold on to is this is the birth of Jesus. For many, the birth of the salvation. In unity, we know that Jesus is here as a teacher, as a brother, as one to be in relationship with, because we are shown through the story and life and legacy of Jesus that each of us is born into knowing that the place of our Christ consciousness is also the root of our love in the world. And knowing that if God is love and sent Jesus as a beacon of love into this world, there is a space where God was love and Jesus was love, which means we are love. That this whole Trinity of God, Jesus, and us is inherently grounded in love. And yet I come back to this idea that we live in a world that feels so far from love, so very often. But I think one of the beautiful pieces of unity, we have come to this definition of practical Christianity. Because there are days that even with all of my training, even with all of my understanding, I have no idea how love is possible in this world when there is the regularity of mass shooting, when there is the degradation of humanity in our political spheres, when we are so much more concerned about the hustle and grind than of how our neighbor is doing. That doesn't feel like a space of love to me. And so I am called forth in the knowledge, if we come back to the definition of love, that it is a harmonizing force, that I have to be the magnet to attract love into my life. That's that whole personal responsibility on your spiritual journey piece. And it is such a bugger, because man, I would love to sit back and just know that heaven was mine and heaven on earth is here. But that is the piece of unity that makes us work for it. We have to be the attractive force. We have to be the magnet for love, which means we have to start being love here, now, in us. Because if we don't start with love in us, it can never be love through us. And we can never see it in the world unless it's in us first. When we come to the metaphysical understanding of love, we come to the revealing word. And the revealing word says, divine love is impersonal. It loves for the sake of loving. It is not concerned with what or who loves, nor with a return of love. I read that and I was like, what in the world are you talking about? Love feels like the most personal thing that I can give in this world. But that's my love. That's little L love. That's personhood coming through my humanity love. Divine love is impersonal. It loves for the sake of loving. It is not concerned with who or what it loves, nor with a return to love. That when we talk about divine love, capital L love, love as the attribute of God, of the source of all good, it doesn't care. It just is. And that can be terrifying or empowering wherever you are on your spiritual journey. Because if you are looking for a God full of love for you that is personal, saying divine love is impersonal, that sounds scary. But if we come at it through the lens of saying that divine love is impersonal, therefore it is always accessible, that is so incredibly empowering, because we know in this world, we will never run out of opportunities to love. Every person that triggers us, every Lego we step on, every parking spot that didn't quite fit our car, every world atrocity, every loss of a World Cup game, all of these opportunities show up for us to be love. Or if you're ready to see it, opportunities for love to be love and us to tap into that love. Because we have to be actively choosing to show up as love. Love just is. We have to choose it. And that's where it gets sticky, because that's where our humanity comes in. Because sometimes it is so much easier not to choose love, because love is harder. One of my favorite authors, Bell Hooks, wrote, "We do not have to love. We choose to love. When we understand love as the will to nurture our own and another's spiritual growth, it becomes very clear that we cannot claim to love if we are hurtful or abusive. Love and abuse cannot coexist. We do not have to love. We choose to love." And I think the piece of saying that love and abuse cannot coexist is a reminder for our world. That for us in our life, we can substitute that word abuse to conflict, to doubt, to fear, that in us there cannot coexist love and fear. Whether we like it or not, one comes up in front. And if we are tuned in, we can be part of that choice to choose love. What I think is funny is when I pretty freely tell people that I love them. It's been very interesting to come into a new workspace and tell people that I love them. And these are not Unity people. That, have a great weekend, I love you. That just pops out of my mouth. And let me tell you, the odd looks I get from people. What? You know, you love me? You don't even know me. I don't have to know you to love you. I get to choose to love you regardless of what I know about you or not. I had someone say to me, you wouldn't love me if you knew me. Yes, I would. I would work on it. I would have to do my own personal work. But I'd like to believe that I would choose it. And in this world where love and fear cannot be happening at the same time, we know that starts with us. And so in this place of knowing that when we start to do our own work, the world reflects that, we jump into what has been called a conspiracy of love. Because for those who have never been loved, it feels like a conspiracy. You say you love me, but wait until you know the worst thing about me. You're choosing to love me, but wait until I do that one thing and then you won't. You say you love me until the world falls down. I am into the conspiracy of love. Because that's not a choice I'm making about how anyone shows up. I am choosing to be love. I am choosing to show up knowing that God is love, and therefore I am made in the image and likeness of God. And that means my capacity for love is limitless, that I do not even know the depths of my own love, the capacity for my own love, until I choose to express it, until I choose to say yes to knowing that understanding love is to nurture my own and another's spiritual growth. Coming back to the words of bell hooks. And it is not easy. And in a world that feels like it is a dumpster fire 95% of the time, I am saying, if I can be love 5% of the time, let's see how far that can go. And in a holiday season where I think so many are stressed and rushing and triggered and in grief and not knowing why in the world we are doing all of this when it feels like the world is crumbling, what a gift we can be by showing up as love. By showing up as love in action and in word and in presence and in energy. Coming back to the words of the daily word, in truth and in action, we can be love. But that starts with us. But boy, it does not end with us. If we are saying yes to being love in this world, if we are knowing that the greatest gift we can give this world is to be love, I do not even know how that could shift our world. But I know a shift will happen. I believe we need it. But there is so much work to be done. And I think we have to start with love. I titled my talk, The Greatest of These is Love. And there are moments that I believe that, and there's moments that my little self come in and say, no way. But I think when we are talking about the greatest of these being love, it's because it starts with us. It starts with love. It starts with the love that God is, was, and forever will be. It starts and continues through the Christ consciousness that Jesus showed us as love in this world. And it's the responsibility of love that we put on ourselves. And so what we're going to shift into right now is a little bit of a body connection meditation about love. And for some people, they're very connected into their bodies, and other people are not. And so you just meet yourself where you are. We're gonna get into meditation using breath. I invite you to continue using your breath to ground you in this experience. And to just lean in a little. So I invite you wherever you are to get as comfortable as you can be. If that's adjusting your position or moving where you are, I invite you to do so. If you feel connected with the experience by closing your eyes, I invite you to do so. But you can also keep your eyes open. And just tap into the rhythm of your breath. That inflow and outflow of oxygen, nourishing your body. Knowing that our breath is one of our surest connections to spirit. And so as we continue to breathe, we begin to understand that we are love. How does that feel in your body? I am love. Say it to yourself. I am love. How does that feel? Where do you feel it? What does it feel like? I am love. Now I invite you to say to yourself, God is love. God is love. And see what comes up for you. Where do you feel that? What do you feel? Is there any resistance? God is love. The world is full of love. Breathe that in and say it to yourself. The world is full of love. Where do you feel that? What do you feel? What comes up for you? The world is a place of love. Now I want you to touch back in to all three of them. I am love. God is love. The world is a place full of love. I want you to see if there's a difference in how those feel for you. If there's one you are very into, another one that doesn't feel quite settled. I am love. God is love. The world is full of love. And I invite you to just keep breathing. So when you're ready, I invite you to just wiggle your toes, move your shoulders. If you closed your eyes, I invite you to open them and come back to this space. If something came up for you, if one of those affirmations felt harder to feel, or if it just felt different, that is your homework. To sit with it, to chew on it, to keep working with it. Because divine love is impersonal. The work is for us to do. But all three things I believe are true. That I am love and you are love, and that God is love, and that the world is a place for love. Thanks for playing with me.
So thank you very much. We appreciate you and we are blessed. And hopefully we're also a little bit provoked in a good way.